Lesson will be brief tonight, and I thought I would do, I've done this before. It's one of my favorite little exercises to do, and this is a teaching sermon, if you'll allow that. If you don't know where this is in your Bible, I think it's a great place to know, because what we're going to do is we're going to teach the gospel to someone. We talked this morning about having the Word of God and conviction. Do you have to have the Word of God first, right? That's what came first in that verse. So if it were up to you, and you were sitting across a kitchen table from somebody that wanted to know about Jesus, where would you go in the Bible? In lots of different places. I would suggest to you that one of the easiest and most complete is in Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. And we'll go through it, and we'll talk about how many different elements and how many different ways to teach Christ are in this. And by the way I'm going to do this tonight, I've probably done this in different lessons three different ways with different verses. There's not just one set of verses that demands being used for this. So I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. Know that we're going to talk about verse 5 as well. But let's just read Romans 1, 1 through 4, and we'll get into it. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, as you're reading along, do you see all the things about Jesus that are just flying out of that passage? Prophecy, descended from David, tribe of Judah, that tribe of Judah is not mentioned, it's implied. Resurrection, Holy Spirit, Son of God, just wham, 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 wham. Gospel of God, much like we looked at this morning. All those concepts are just screaming like fighter jets in a Top Gun movie. I have to make sure Wendy's paying attention. They're just all these ideas are just screaming at you. So you've got four verses here where you can sit down with someone and this is all you have to have. And you can teach them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we say, I just made the mistake, but that's how we say it. We talked about this morning, gospel of God. Paul has it in Romans chapter 1 and 1 also as gospel of God. So what is the gospel of God? Well, first of all, in verse 2, it says, which he promised beforehand. I've got a little list. Hopefully that'll make it a little easier for you to follow along. Maybe not. So this is the idea. Not only was Jesus prophesied beforehand, the gospel was prophesied beforehand. And again, this is you could go several different places with this. I'm going to go to Jeremiah 31. And let me just warn you ahead of time, I'm going to be relatively brief in this lesson because of the time. But just know that there's a much longer conversation to be had here over these verses. But we'll just read Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34. And these verses are repeated in the book of Hebrews. So Jeremiah 31, we'll read verse 31 and then verse 34. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. What is that? That is a prophecy. That is God saying, in the future I will do. When God prophesies something, what does it do? It happens. Paul says, I want to tell you about the gospel of God prophesied beforehand in the scriptures. The gospel is not just that there's going to be a new covenant, but in that new covenant, what is the result? And that's for verse 34. So Jeremiah 31 and verse 34. No longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquities, and I will remember their sin no more. There's the gospel, prophesied beforehand in the scriptures. Forgiveness is coming. A new covenant is coming. Knowing the Lord is coming. Praise God that it has come. By the way, I'm going to be bouncing back and forth between Romans 1. I always hate when I go away from something I'm going to come back to. Keep a thumb there. So the first phrase is, he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Concerning his Son, I'll just touch on this briefly from Matthew 17. We'll come back to that because this idea is actually mentioned twice. But I always think of Matthew chapter 17 in regard to this. Jesus here is meeting with Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration. As you well know, Peter says, Lord, should we make a tabernacle here, a tent for all three of you?
And God intercedes in verse 17 and verse 5 and corrects Peter and tells us something about Jesus. He was still speaking, that's Peter, when behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Yes, indeed, the gospel was prophesied ahead of time. Jesus was prophesied ahead of time. He is the Son of God. It says there that he was descended from David according to the flesh. So he's God according to the Spirit. He's David according to the flesh. Luke chapter 1 and verse 32. Luke chapter 1 and verse 32. And really, a lot of these concepts you could get from this one text. Luke chapter 1 and verse 32. This is what the angel tells Mary. He, that's the Son, will be born to the Virgin. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. There's that concept again. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. The throne of his father David. This is prophesied in 2 Samuel 7. This is David has gained victory over the Philistines. He actually wants to build a temple for God. He says, "I dwell in a house of cedar. How can the tabernacle of God dwell in a tent?" God actually tells him, "Listen here, David, if I wanted you to build me a tabernacle, I'd tell you to." And then God makes this great promise to David in 2 Samuel 7 and verse 12. So 2 Samuel 7 and verse 12. "When your days," this is so God speaking to David, "when your days are fulfilled and you, David, lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." You didn't realize all this was in the first four verses of Romans, did you? And again, this is the totality of Scripture. You could go on about this on and on and on. Verse 4, the idea of the Son of God comes up again. How does it come up? "Declared to be the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by his resurrection from the dead." Christ's resurrection is God saying for all time, declaring, you see the word, declaring that yes, Jesus is indeed the Son of God. Resurrected by what? The same Spirit of God that will resurrect our mortal bodies. Take a look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 kind of references this same idea of how Jesus was raised, how we will be raised. Romans 8, verses 8 through 10. Romans 8, 10 through 11. I apologize. Romans 8, 10 through 11. "But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." How am I going to be resurrected? The same way Jesus was. Through the Spirit of God. God did it to raise Jesus for all time to prove that he is his Son of God. When I am baptized and I'm raised and walk in newness of life, what do I become? I also become a child of God. And his Spirit dwells within me, crying out, "Abba, Father." The same Spirit that dwells in me is the Spirit that raised Christ. The same Spirit that raised Christ, God will raise me by that Spirit in the end. So we're resurrected by the Spirit. Jesus was resurrected by the Spirit to prove he's the Son of God. Jesus Christ, our Lord. I say that you probably are tired of me saying this. I ask all the time, it's a trick question. What is the conclusion to sermons Peter? To Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost? It's not Acts 38, it's Acts 32, 36. Because Jesus is going to wrap all these... Trying not to keep it too long. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Peter is going to wrap up all these things in one phrase. "Let all the house of Israel know, therefore, for certain, that God has made him," that's Jesus of Nazareth, "both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you've crucified." Peter begins his sermon by referring to Jesus as Jesus of Nazareth. That's a very important point. He begins by saying to these people, you know this man. Even those of you who don't believe he's the Christ, even if you don't believe he's the Son of God, you don't believe any of those things. You know Jesus, the guy from Nazareth. And then as he preaches his sermon, you know what he proves? That he's not just Jesus of Nazareth. He's the Christ, the Son of the living God, prophesied, descended of David, not left in Hades to be corrupted, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So just as Paul says there in the tail end of verse 4 of Romans 1, Jesus Christ, our Lord, you've heard me talk about that phrase quite a bit. Can that be said of you? I can say Jesus Christ is my Lord. Can you say he's yours? If you can't say Jesus Christ is your Lord, then he's not our Lord. It's time to fix that. Because the gospel teaches us that there is a Jesus descended from David. The gospel prophesied beforehand that he is the Son of God. He is the Christ. He is our Lord. And the reaction that the people had in Acts chapter 2 is the reaction every one of us should have that's not a Christian. Brothers, what shall we do? And the answer to that is to bring about the obedience of faith. I told you that I mentioned verse 5 of Romans 1. Notice that Acts chapter 2 and Romans 1, the gospel story, it's always the same. And it wraps up the same. After Paul tells us the gospel in 1 through 4, he tells us the result of it in Romans 1 through 5. Through whom, this Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we've received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among the nations. So when Peter says that this Jesus who you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ, the proper reaction to that was to obey in faith. Now what Peter says in Acts 2:38, we know so well. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gospel was prophesied, the new covenant, Jeremiah 31, forgiveness of sins in Jeremiah 31. The new spirit, the spirit of God that raised Christ from the dead will raise us from the dead if he dwells in you. If you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, if you've never been cleansed by God, his spirit does not dwell in you. You're not a child of God. Frankly, you're a child of the devil. A strong language. But what we're talking about is serious business. We're talking about your soul. If you've never come to Jesus before tonight, we ask that you express the obedience of faith and begin to walk a life of obedience to Jesus Christ, my Lord. Can he be ours tonight? Please come forward as we stand and sing.